So how many years have you been in St. Pete?
It will actually be 13 years if you publish this tomorrow, because I came here, I came here this week, 13 years ago,
Awesome.
2011. Yeah.
What are some organizations that you're involved in?
Since my tenure here, I came here to be the chief digital officer for Catalina Marketing. So that's what originally brought me here. So I did. Is that what you want to hear? Or, I mean, I can tell you, or do you want to hear who I'm with now?
Yeah, or even just things that you're doing
Yeah,
in your.
so I was on the board of the Saint. I was on the St. Pete Downtown Partnership Board for 6 years. I was on the Warehouse Arts District Board for 6 years and spent most of those as the fundraising chair. I used to be the chief executive officer of a company here called Genius Central Systems, and then I was also the CEO of Buyowner. Com. So those would be some of the bigger ones that people might be aware of. And then I launched a company here about 7, 8 years ago called Ovesto, and OVESTO. And we were one of the first companies that was offering fractional executive staffing to different companies. So through that, I spent a lot of time working with capital and private equity firms, and I found that as a great lead magnet to then serve multiple portfolio companies underneath them. And so that's what I did until I launched PassionStruck.
What gets you out of bed every day?
I think what gets me out of bed every day is I get the opportunity. So I think we don't think about how glorious our planet is. And I am fortunate to know a number of astronauts. I just had one on the podcast on Tuesday. People want to check it out. Mike Massimino, they might know him from the Big Bang Theory, where he's been on it a number of times. But we don't get that same perspective as the astronauts do through the overview effect of just how beautiful the planet is in the galaxy that we live in. And not only that, just how, when you think about the planet and our role in it, I think we get too much caught up in ourselves and not in the difference that we were supposed to make in our time here. And so to me, that's what gets me out of bed. It's the fact that I'm doing something that I love in the service of trying to help others become better themselves. And so I think that's what gets me out of bed, is just that fulfillment that I get to be someone who serves through the work I'm doing, and that it's and that trying to do it in the best way that I possibly can, and trying to, every day I get up, having the energy to put my all in it, so whatever I'm doing, I'm creating as much impact as I can and making that day's work as valuable as I can possibly make it.
Why St. Pete?
I moved here from Austin, and I had 2 tenures in Austin. The first was in the late 90s, early 2000s, which was my favorite time of the Austin era. It was when Austin was really cool, and people considered it really weird. And it just had this thrive of young entrepreneurs and VC and arts and culture and folk and music, all transcending into this community. And to me, St. Pete used to be the up-and-comer to be what Austin was at that time. And I think it's become that over the 13 years I've been here. And what I love about it is that it has so much art, culture, creativity, and innovation in it that that to me really makes it stand out as one of the top cities across the country, not to mention the great weather, et cetera, beaches that people come here for. But to me, it's the type of people that we're bringing into this greater Tampa Bay community. But the reason I was on the board of the Warehouse Arts District is because I'm a huge lover of the arts and wanted to see St. Pete remain that. Because what ended up happening in Austin is a lot of that art world got displaced because as rents went up and other things happened, no one could afford to live there anymore. And so part of the reason I love the Warehouse Arts District is it's just on the cusp of being downtown, and yet we've tried to create this haven for artists to be able to live here and afford to have a studio there and to have a place where the arts are made so that the people in the community can enjoy it. And I just love the museums we have. I think Paul has done a great job with the Palladium, along with having American Stage and the Mahaffey and everything that we have live events and concerts. And one thing that I think people don't think about enough is I remember talking to Rick Baker and Rick Kreisman about this when they were both mayor, and that is people don't realize some of the treasures we have. One is Boyd Hill, and people don't realize that Boyd Hill outside of Central Park is the largest urban park in the country. And we don't take as much advantage of it as we should. The other thing we don't think about is all the parks that we have on the water and the events that we host there and how much that bonds this community. Because outside of Chicago, we have the most parks on the water of any city in the country. So I think it's just got tons of different things, plus, great events like the Grand Prix and Shopapalooza and Localtopia that I just think just show how much the community matters and how much inclusive and diverse perspectives are valued here.
What is one habit you keep?
So one of the most important habits I do is a morning routine. And two of my favorite authors, Al Elrond and Robin Sharma, are probably two of my biggest influences in this area. But I went to the Naval Academy, and coming out of being in the military, I was always someone who valued the morning because we were kind of trained that way. And but I found in my life for many years I wasn't maximizing it. And when I really got in the habit of getting up at dawn, I get up every day at 5 a.m. and utilizing it as my purposeful you time, it has made the world a difference. And so to me, by creating that habit of waking up at 5, it has fostered so many additional habits from it, such as exercising every single day and journaling and mindfulness practice and walking and just being able to be out there 5 o'clock in the morning on a walk with no traffic, no distractions, and being able to set your intentions for the day on how you want to live it and to do your gratitude practice. To me, it's life altering.
Who are some people that influence you?
Well, I just mentioned two, and Hal Elrod and Robin Sharma. So those two have been very influential. I would say Marshall Goldsmith, Seth Godin is another one who've been very influential over time. I would say my father and my grandfather have been role models for me. Both were veterans. And outside of that, I'm a huge fan of the work of Susan Cain. I'm an introvert, and I think her book, Quiet, when it came out, was this beacon of hope for me of seeing and recognizing this latent talent that I had, that I had been masking for so many years, trying to be an extrovert in a world that rewards that. And I have found Dan Pink to be someone I really look up to. I love his books. Drive was a great book about intrinsic motivation, and his latest one on the power of regret was really good as well. So those would be some, I would say, podcast influencers to me have been Joe Hamilton, Jay Shetty, Lewis Howes. I think Mel Robbins is doing a great show. Gabby Bernstein, Rachel Hollis, Emily Morse. I mean, the whole sex thing is what it is, but I really respect her for doing it as long as she has. And she's a good friend of mine, so I'd love to support her and see what she's doing as well. So I'd say those are some. And then military-wise, I would say leaders like Colin Powell, who I got an opportunity to meet. Mark Benioff, the CEO of Salesforce, has played a big role in being a mentor to me, as has astronaut Wendy Lawrence, who I first met when I was a sophomore at the Naval Academy. She was a physics teacher, and she's kind of been a role model to me that we need to give ourselves permission to dream the dream. And I think so many of us don't give ourselves that permission, and that's something that she has always been huge influence in my life. And I would also give a shout out to Rob Kapusta, who's a local St. Pete person. I have never met anyone in my life who is more involved in philanthropic endeavors to drive positive change than him. And it's really, I don't know how he does it. Another one that I'd like to mention in St. Pete would be Ron Schlosser and also Keith Jarrett, who are two friends and mentors of mine, who are doing great things in the community as well.
What is one piece of insight, a book, methodology, or practice that you would want to share with our readers?
So a life-changing process practice for me has been something that I write about and I talk about. It's on my website. It's called the Deliberate Action Process. And the way I created this is I was a consultant at Anderson Consulting when I was younger. And back then, we all had to go to St. Charles if we were on the consulting side, which was a campus that they bought outside of Chicago. It used to be they turned it into a university for the Anderson business. And we had this methodology that people regarded as the best out of all the consulting firms called Method One. And Method One basically taught you how do you implement large scale ERP and other system implementations. Well, when I learned it, it was great. But it was very heavy, meaning it was this huge monolithic thing that had every step known to man on how you do things. But a lot of the clients that I served, because I was doing a lot in high growth mid-market, were smaller firms that they just didn't need that. And this was before Agile even became a thing. And so I boiled this whole huge methodology down to six steps that I started applying in my professional life, and then over time found worked in my personal life. And I call it the deliberate action process. And the deliberate action process consists of six easy steps. The first one is assess. So if this isn't a personal situation, you're kind of assessing what's going on in life. You're looking in your life, you're looking at the goals that you want to achieve. And you're assessing and kind of just doing ideation, brainstorming to put all these different ideas and aspirations on a piece of paper. And then you then move from there into prioritization and you start breaking those down and analyzing what is going to be the most meaningful thing for me to take on in a short duration. Because using this, you're talking about like a sprint, like an agile sprint. So it's a week or 2 week long process. And then I came up with this step called Ignite. And Ignite is part of the title of my book. And Ignite is all about intrinsic motivation because I think oftentimes we assess in our lives these things we want to change, these goals we want to achieve. We might prioritize that we want to take the step. It could be I want to lose weight. But then we don't create that momentum to keep it going. And that's where the ignite step comes in. You've got to ignite this action and having the willpower to do it, whether that's in an organization or in your personal life. And then that leads you to the execute phase, where you actually spend the time to execute it. And then the other thing that people don't do is measure the outcome. So what was the outcome? Was it the outcome that you wanted? And is there still a gap? And then from there, you go into renew, which is you take the learnings from that measurement and you go back and you reassess. It could be you reassess and you realize you didn't achieve what you were hoping to, so you've got to run that whole thing again. Or you might go back and say, coming out of this, I not only achieved this, I achieved this, and it causes me to go in and reassess what are the priorities and prioritization. And so it's just a constant loop. And once you can perfect doing this and it becomes habitual, it has led me to 10x my life. It has led me to 10x every organization I came into. I mean, I was the youngest partner to be selected in this Big Four consulting firm, one of the first CIOs, our first chief information security officer in any Fortune 500 company, the youngest vice president at Lowe's. I was a CIO for a Fortune 50 company before I was 50. So it shows you that it works. The most important thing, you got to be consistent in using it. So to me, the deliberate action process is something I love to tell people about. And if they purchase the book, I created a 50-page manual with worksheets that they can utilize and have access to apply it in their own life.
What is one thing you wish you knew about your work 3 years ago?
I wish I would have started in this journey in the podcasting when I saw Joe Hamilton get into it 3 years before I did. Would be a huge answer, because I think we are in the midst of a huge revolution of how people are going to work. And I think over the next decade, you're going to see more and more people becoming solo entrepreneurs. And one of the major reasons I wrote the book is, with all the things that are hitting us from the social and economic impacts that we're all getting, unfortunately, impacted by, I mean, that's one thing. But when you start coupling that with the robotics, the automation, the AI, I know I have a 25-year-old son, and he's very fearful about the future, because he is like, how do I make sure my job doesn't get displaced in the future? And so I think we're going to see a big shift where, for the past 30 years, more and more people, if you look at the charts, have moved away from entrepreneurship and they've joined the safety of being in big companies. Well, the problem with these big companies is, as I found in my own career, you're very disposable when it means that the bottom line can be bettered. And I think people are going to learn that the one huge innate thing that we as human beings were put here on the planet to do was to be learning creative mechanisms. And I think that is why God put us here, to have fun, to be creative, and to express our full capabilities. And so I see more and more people starting to work for themselves, serving many clients, kind of like the people do on Fiverr or Upwork. And I see that as a model more people are going to have to undertake, because if there's any advice I would give people, especially younger generations, it's start making reading an absolute part of your everyday life. If the biggest difference between a person who is illiterate and a person who reads is that you don't read. It is one of the greatest gifts that we have, and you don't have to do a lot of it. All you have to do is 20, 30 minutes a day of trying to learn something new, And I guarantee you that that, as Jim Quick will tell you, creates a limitless life, a limitless mind. But it all starts with that constant learning. And if you can start creating that limitless learning environment for yourself, it will unlock so many more things in your life than you ever thought possible. And I guess that's one habit I have is I read, especially with the podcast, I'm well over 100 books a year that I read. But you gain so much knowledge from it, and more importantly, a more worldwide, diverse, and inclusive perspective on what's happening and how you can shift what you're doing to be a part of it.
What is next for you?
I think the next big thing for me is I'm really I'm extremely fortunate, humbled, and kind of in disbelief that Harry Walker, probably the most esteemed speakers bureau in the country, reached out to me and asked me to be one of their keynote speakers. And so what I am really interested in is to start going on the road more and sharing what I've been talking about on the podcast and in the book with audiences. It's something I love to do, something I did a lot of a decade ago. And I'm really interested in getting back into serving other people through public speaking. And I think the other thing I'm really interested in is I have gone through my own mental health struggles and dealings with depression and other things. And I am always trying to do things that I can to share my story and share the importance of mental health. And then another huge thing that I want to continue to do is, unfortunately, my family and my life has been plagued by many people who've been impacted by cancer. And I lost my grandfather to it, my grandmother, my fiance, my sister has pancreatic cancer. And so I try to do my part by spreading the word on bringing people hope who have cancer. And another person I'd really like to mention in this is my friend Bill Potts. And if anyone is dealing with an issue like this, Bill has written a great book called Up for the Fight, which is really a manual of how to be the CEO of your own health. And I would encourage it on anyone's journey, if not only cancer, but any health ailment that's impacting them, that it is a great book that will just give you the basics of what you need to do to create a winning approach to thriving in that situation.